if Ash Wednesday and the first Sunday in Lent set us off on our Lenten journey, this week we find out just what the journey will require of us. Our text starts out pretty well for Peter. He has recognized, at least to some extent, who Jesus is, the Messiah. But things quickly take a turn. For the first time in Mark's gospel, Jesus becomes didn't fit into Peter's idea of Messiah or into what it meant to follow Jesus. So Jesus in turn rebukes Peter. Get behind me, Satan. That seems pretty harsh. But think about the other interaction between Jesus and Satan that's recorded in the Gospels. Do you know what it is? The temptation in the wilderness, which Jesus has come through not that long before this, as he spent 40 days in the wilderness preparing for his ministry. And Satan's intention with those temptations was to prevent Jesus from being about the work of his Father. And really here, Peter's doing the same thing, with different motives, but the same effect. And we know from his own prayers that it was difficult for Jesus to accept what was to come. And hearing his friend and follower who he thought was finally beginning to get it. The mission that we read says, get away from me. That's one way of understanding these words. But I think it was probably more like, get behind me. Get in line, Peter. If you're going to follow Jesus, well, you have to let him lead, which means he's in front and you're behind. And so then Jesus, realizing that if Peter doesn't get it, it's for certain that the rest of these folks aren't getting it, turns and addresses all the crowd. And the teaching doesn't get any easier. All who want to be my disciples must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Self-denial is a tricky practice, I think. It doesn't mean that we give up who we are at our core, the self that God created us to be. Jesus' words here are calling us to recognize and release the things that hinder us from full relationship with God and one another. So often, it's ourself that gets in the way of that. Self-denial amount of room for God's love, grace, and compassion to move in and through me. Jesus asks us to find the particular path that will enable us to do the work of giving up all that separates us from God, from one another, and from our truest selves. As Peter learned, this includes releasing our desire to dictate the actions of others in ways we're not meant to do, even if we think we know what's best, and letting go of our attachment to outcomes that are beyond our control. The poet March Piercy puts it, to have without holding. It's one of the great paradoxes of our spiritual path, this kind of denial. This kind of detachment somehow makes way for our deepest connections. And this, what are you attached to? Desire, possession, relationship has become a stumbling block. Well, if you've ever thought or said, but that's mine, that's the first step. That's my possession, whatever it may be. That's my life, so I can do it my way. That's my church. That's
my committee position. That's my class, group, whatever. If you spend so much time securing your own safety, security in retirement, security in your physical self, that it causes you to overlook the needs of others or to rely less on God, that may be the area that you need to consider denying yourself. How is God calling you to deny yourself? How might God be calling us as a church to deny ourselves in order to be the church that God is calling us to be? When we're willing to deny ourselves, we can see more clearly the cross in front of us, the cross that is ours to take up. Jesus doesn't say, seek out a cross and then follow me. He says, take up your cross and follow. This isn't an invitation to seek out or intensify or prolong suffering. After all, that would violate what Jesus says are the greatest commandments, to love God fully and to love your neighbor as yourself, which obviously involves loving and respecting yourself. The assumptions under Jesus' commandment to take up your cross are that you already have suffering in your life and will have suffering in the future, and that following Jesus, like any meaningful mission, will entail some suffering. The invitation is not to seek out, but rather to take up that suffering, to seize the role of the active protagonist in the drama of our life, not the role of a passive victim, and then to follow Jesus along the way that leads to wholeness and liberation, restoration, and new life. As followers of Jesus today, we have an advantage over Peter and the other disciples. While Jesus told them about the resurrection, they hadn't experienced it. And we live in the time after the resurrection with the certain knowledge that Jesus is alive again. We live in the time when sin and death have been defeated on the cross. We live in the time of sure hope that God is making everything new, and that we'll experience God's kingdom in all its wonderful glory one day. And we also live in a time when death still painfully interrupts life, when we can know complete forgiveness and the slate wiped clean, but still struggle with some of our old nature. We live in a time when we see amazing answers to prayer, as well as a time when God can seem so far away as we call out to God. We live in a time when we're called to follow Jesus' way of suffering while knowing that Jesus has won the victory over evil and sin and death. Following Jesus, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, means that we live in this dual reality of the kingdom of heaven on earth, both now and not yet. Suffering is real, just as real as the suffering of Jesus and of his followers before the resurrection. God is found in our grief and struggle and pain, and in the hope that out of pain, God can and does bring healing and hope and life, sometimes right now, and sometimes in a while. That after the crucifixion comes the resurrection. That after Good Friday comes Easter Sunday. While we still live in the here and now, we are going to have to make sacrifices. Sacrifices for Jesus. And we may even follow him to the death, as many around the world still face today. Jesus warned us that it might be so, still calls us to take up our cross and follow him. Why is it that our Christian faith is centered around these two things, the cross and the empty tomb, Good Friday and Easter Sunday? What is the purpose of the cross? Maybe it's because through crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus shows us love and mercy, even when that love and mercy caused the empire to put him to death. Maybe it's because Jesus, by rising from the dead, defeats sin and death-dealing forces once and for all. Maybe it's because Jesus, by, as Galatians says, becoming a curse for us, cancels all debts and so sets us free. Maybe it's because Jesus subversively transforms some of the worst things in the world, the Roman cross and betrayal among friends, into some of the best things in the world, the tree of life and forgiveness among enemies, thus effectively proclaiming that God will redeem everything in the end. Maybe it's because the cross declares God's compassionate solidarity with all who suffer. Maybe it's because, to borrow a phrase from the poet Mary Oliver, this story will break our hearts open, never to close again to the rest of the world. I think it's all these things and more. When Jesus took up the cross, all these purposes were fulfilled. And Jesus' cross also showed us why Peter was rebuked, because he had the wrong idea of what being the Messiah was all about. True Messiahship is about compassion, not conquest. Suffering doesn't save. God saves. And one of the things God saves us from is our own violent ways, including our destructive ideas about the redemptive powers of violence and suffering. Jesus doesn't call us to pursue or prolong suffering. He calls us to end or alleviate suffering whenever possible. And when suffering can't be avoided, to take it up and to follow Jesus, our healer, liberator, Messiah, into God's dawning new world, where mourning and crying and pain will be no more. This taking up of our cross, this participation in the suffering of God, takes a variety of forms, and your cross will be different than mine, because we're all called to find the purpose placed before us, our cross purposes, the ways in which Jesus is calling us to follow. In order to take up your cross, you first have to abandon the illusion that you're a self-contained individual. Be a part of this wounded world and find yourself with Christ. Set aside your own desires. Give yourself fully for others. Be the hands and heart of Jesus. You must renounce self-protection. Accept your brokenness. Reach out for love. Let go of your own plans. Boy, is that hard for some of us, isn't it? Join in the healing of the world and know that you will not be alone. If we're to be followers of Christ, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow. Like Peter, when I think about this, when I really think about it, this seems like an unreasonable expectation. And yet that's our purpose. Cross purpose. We're here to be world changers and light bringers and life givers and peacemakers. We're here to be the best kind of unreasonable, unreasonably generous, unreasonably compassionate, unreasonably loving. It's time for us as the church to be unreasonable. It's time for each of us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Will you pray with me? God, we hear these words from Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. And those words are scary. Because God, we know what taking up the cross meant for Jesus. And we're not ready to sacrifice our lives. Most days we're not even ready to sacrifice small things for the sake of your kingdom. So today we confess our weaknesses, God, our fears, and our hesitations. And as we gather, as we look at the cross in front of us, as we remember the crosses that marked our foreheads on Ash Wednesday, beginning of this Lenten journey, as we think of the cross that Lent calls us to journey toward, give us strength in new places deep within our souls. Help us to find courage and hope and the peace to really follow. We begin our Lenten journey towards finding our crosses and figuring out how to bear them. May we love as you have loved. May we sacrifice as you have sacrificed for the sake of others. Help us to deny ourselves, take up